You're listening to The Last Word on Hockey with Jim Behringer, Coach Jay, and Mark Weiss on Northeast Streaming Sports.
Episode 29, a little impromptu Saturday show. We were originally going to be off this week due to there probably wasn't going to be much going on into the expansion draft. However, things changed this past week. Exciting week in the National Hockey League. Exciting Saturday. We're here on Mad Radio Network. I'm Jim Behringer, Coach J, Mark Weiss along with me. And boys, the New York area got a lot of news today in regards to transactions, especially during the week as well. We're going to kick things off with the team that went to the Eastern Conference Final. It's the New York Islanders making three moves. They made three moves. They traded Nick Leddy to the Detroit Red Wings for a second-round pick and Richard Panik. They also sent Andrew Ladd and picks to Arizona to take their contract off of hands. And they just announced that they have re-signed Andy Green to $750,000 contract with $250,000 in bonuses. So that's a little move right there. But they about have like about $19 million in cap space to go spend and bring in scoring, which they desperately need, and shore up that defense heading into next season. So what do we think about these moves? Let's start off with Leddy. I think it's a good move. He became a defensive liability in the playoffs, and Andrew Ladd was not going to play for this team anymore. That was just LTIR money.
Agreed. The Leddy move is definitely an interesting thing to look at because of the fact that there's a lot of Islander fans who really, really – the guy who's beloved with the fan base, there's a lot of people who didn't want to see him go. But the reality of it was he was an offensive defenseman whose offense didn't pay dividends in the postseason, and his defensive liabilities really were exposed in the postseason. And I think he was never a Lou guy.
Oh yeah, let me tell you, they're getting younger. He's been there a long time. Listen, we're all going to be unhappy with moves that are going to be made in the expansion draft and who's going to be taken, who's not going to be protected. They got something for him. And the Ladd deal, they get rid of all that money. They could spend $19 million. I mean, as a Ranger fan,
They should feel fortunate they unloaded Ladd.
Exactly. As a Ranger fan, I'm like, "Oh shit, we got competition in the free agent market." So, Islander fans should be happy. I mean,
they should be happy because, again, Arizona just taking on more dead contract space to just load up for what? I have no idea what they're doing. They're just figuring out that's the place to go to send dead contracts. I mean, Pavel Datsyuk's contract's there as well. I mean, look, I mean, no offense to Kyle, but that's not how you get better. I mean, Lewis figured out a way to make this island happen. First of all, you had Stefan Robitaille go away. Joffrey Lupo joined Robitaille Island, and so did Andrew Ladd. They all drone in that island, and it's just money that just goes off your books, which is great. Like I said, now they bring back Andy Green. That's a typical Lou move. I mean, you knew he was going to come back. He actually played well for them on the third pairing. You know, obviously Noah Dobson's going to step up. They're probably going to try to bring in – now, I'm hearing – and this ties into what the Wild did at the beginning of this about midweek, where they bought out Zach Parise and Ryan Suter, and I'm being told and hearing that Parise and Suter are landing spot for the Islanders.
It's very, very logical. You know, they were bought out. Their contracts are their numbers are being eaten by Minnesota, so the Islanders can bring them in on the cheap.
Yeah. And you can't get their experience for nothing. I mean, they'll definitely back up.
Parisi's a Lou guy.
Yeah. Parisi's a Lou guy. Suter's not a Lou guy, but it seems like they're a package deal. So yeah. I think the Islanders have competition from Washington for Ryan Suter, because I think that's a good landing spot for him too. But I think Suter definitely makes the Islanders' defense better. And if you're going to move out Nick Leddy, you bring in Ryan Suter for your second pair. I have no problem with that move if that's the move you're going to make.
Hey, Jimmy, rumor on the Washington Capitals fan pages is Ovi and Chara might sign cheap deals with the Islanders because they're Trotz guys. Fact or fiction?
Fiction. Alex Ovechkin. There's only two places Alex Ovechkin's going to sign a contract.
Washington.
It's Washington, or he goes back to the KHL. And
Washington or Washington. He's not leaving the NHL because he's got Gretzky in his crosshairs.
Right, exactly. He's not leaving the Capitals. Now, Chara's interesting. I don't think the Islanders bring in Chara just because, even though they drafted him and stuff, he just doesn't fit what the Islanders are going for right now. And he's been exposed for the last 3 years in the playoffs. I keep telling people Chara is – Granted, he can still play in the National Hockey League, but he needs a Charlie McAvoy to back up his mistakes, and the Islanders just don't have that player to pair him with.
No, they don't. They don't have that player. I mean, he's a third-line pair defenseman at this point in his career, but he needs a guy who can move the puck as his partner, like we've all said, and that guy doesn't. You're not putting him with Andy Green, because then there'll be the two rocks of granite.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't do that.
They both look like pylons on skates if you put them together.
Andy Green's such a cone anyway. So, I mean, look, he can still play penalty kill. He's a good leader in the room. Again, he's a Lou guy. Parisi is a Lou guy. It's going to be interesting.
Parisi's so logical. It's. I think it's fait accompli.
Well, I mean, he was rumored to be traded last year at the deadline to the Islanders.
And but then the Islanders would have to pick up the full boat of the money if they did that.
Well, that and once – Lou, apparently what happened was it started making words the Islanders in Minnesota were talking, and then it got kiboshed because Lou doesn't like his deals being talked about. But this makes the most sense. So come July 28th, when things open up, don't be surprised to see Ryan Suter or Zach Parise sign with the New York Islanders.
There is no shock if that happens. None whatsoever.
And if people are shocked, then you really don't know Lou Lamoriello too well.
The only thing that Lou doesn't like worse than having his deals talked about is alternate jerseys.
Yeah, exactly. But what else is going to be interesting to see if Zajac and Palmieri both come back. Palmieri lit it up in the playoffs. It's just going to be see what he does over 82-game season. And Zajac, yeah, he's a good third line center.
What do they have to give Palmieri to get him back?
What
do they have to give Palmieri to get him back? What's the numbers?
I mean, I wouldn't pay him anything more than $3.54 million.
How many years? Three?
Three.
I can't see you going more than that.
Anything. I wouldn't give any more than that. Not in this market. But no. I mean, look. So the Islanders are making moves. The team, actually, all the metro area teams made moves.
They did.
We'll move over to the New York Rangers. For a second here, I got my piece of paper while I was at the tournament writing all this
Howden.
Brett Howden goes to Vegas for Nick DeSimone. Then the Rangers acquire the rights
to Barkley Gouda
from the Tampa Bay Lightning for a seventh-round pick. Now, think about this. Tampa Bay acquired him for a first-rounder. They ship him off for a seventh-rounder. And the Rangers now have 10 days to sign him. Now, there are rumors out that this guy's going to get 6 years. This guy is really – you saw what he did in Tampa where he grinded out with
– it's what the Rangers have been missing.
This is exactly what the Rangers are missing. This is the direction you need to go. But, my Ranger fans, what and how much are you paying this guy for how long to stay with this team?
He's 28, right? He's 28. Three, maybe 4 years.
That ain't going to get it done.
Well, then, listen, they got a number four also for Howden.
That ain't going to get it done, Jay, because the guy's coming off being a cup hero. And his grinding style is important for teams that want to go deep in the playoffs. And he knows and his people know the Rangers are desperate to pay for it.
I'm not sure why they traded for him that then just to give away number seven, because they could have just gotten a number four for Howden, which they did. I don't understand the move unless it's a money move to be able to protect him or sign him or
they don't have to protect him in the expansion draft
because he's a UFA.
Not protect him, but they can match, right?
Well, they have 10 days to sign him. before somebody else gets a crack at him.
Exactly. Just like any other UFA.
Then they'll probably make more trades if they're going to sign him.
Because they got to protect him once they sign him.
Well, they will if they trade other guys and it opens up a slot.
Well, they can't trade it. Well, you can't trade anything until the expansion draft is over.
Correct.
So is it roster freeze now until the expansion draft?
Well, it's past 5 o'clock Eastern time. Do we have all the protected lists?
Not yet. No, they haven't been announced yet, but they had to be in.
They have to be in, so we don't know them yet, because I was hoping that we'd be able to see them and talk about them right now, because I think there's going to be some shocking names that are off those lists.
Well, we already know, but before
we know Shea Weber's going to be off, obviously.
We know Shea Weber, which we got to talk about. We know Vladimir Tarasenko is not going to be protected. The Devils are probably not going to protect PK Subban. Jeff Skinner, Ben Bishop, waive no trade, new move clauses, so they'll most likely be unprotected.
Right.
There's going to be some guys on these lists that are going to be very, very interesting to see, because you wouldn't expect it. Now, the Rangers, like you said in our text group, Ranger fans are loving the fact that Brett Howden is no longer a Ranger.
Yeah, Ranger fans never took that dude to heart, man. He's been their whipping boy to blame on everything. Seriously. I mean, since Mark Stahl's been gone.
Yeah.
Well, they weren't going to protect him anyway. They got a fourth-round pick for him, and they weren't going to protect him.
No, they weren't going to protect him. No reason to. So they got something for nothing, if you think about it.
Yeah, exactly.
They
moved up 90
did.
Spots.
My question is, what is Detroit going to do with Nick Leddy? I know we moved on from the Islander thing, but is he a long-term player in their plans, or are they going to look to flip him after the expansion draft to get younger again?
I wouldn't be surprised with Stevie Watt, man. He's got a lot of cap space. I wouldn't be surprised if they make a move there, maybe sign a guy, bring in a lot of free agents that you wouldn't expect to, you know, because guys are going to want to play for the winged wheel out there. You know, Steve Yzerman, he knows how to put teams together.
He does. I mean, he's the architect of this two-time cup winner in Tampa.
Yeah, they should be sending him rings because of what he did.
They literally should be sending him.
Yeah.
He has no shortage of rings, so let's not worry about Stevie Watt.
I know he doesn't, but I'm just saying, as an executive, I mean, I'm just saying he deserves those two rings.
I agree. Like, you know, when they give out awards like Executive of the Year, I think that those are so short-sighted awards, because sometimes the Executive of the Year is someone who made those moves 5 and 6 years down, you know, passed down the road.
Exactly. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do there. I mean, they'll probably keep him around, just knowing, you know, they stick him someplace. Maybe they move him. Who knows? But I like what the Rangers did. I like what the Islanders are doing. They're trying to go for it again. So,
I think all three New York area teams got themselves stronger with the moves they made in the last week.
Yeah, and speaking of, you know, the New Jersey Devils traded for Ryan Graves from Colorado again.
They did.
The Devils going after a team that was probably a team that, you know, had expansion roster trouble. They had a fix. You know, they weren't going to probably protect Graves. So you send Mikhail Maltsev and a second-round pick to Colorado for an upgrade on your defense. So most likely, like I said, they're most likely not going to protect Subban, because now you protect Severson, Graves, and then maybe Siegenthaler.
They weren't protecting him anyway.
No, they're not.
So they were never going to protect him. I mean, I don't – I think this seals the deal, but they never were going to.
Yeah, lots of big contracts out there not being protected.
No, exactly. But it's a good – for me, it's a good upgrade on their defense, because, you know, he's a solid penalty killer. He's a big body. He's a big defenseman. That's something they're missing. He's physical. He's a good penalty killer, and he's good in his own zone. And the Devils need that, especially with this young team. And he fits that age of what Tom Fitzgerald's doing. And Fitzgerald said this team's not done it, and I believe him. They're probably going to go after a goaltender, maybe try to get some scoring. Look, Yarolak, we talked about this here. Yarolak's agent said there's Boston and him are going to be mutually parting ways. So that's a goalie right there that could come in and help Blackwood out there. Right, Jay?
Yeah, definitely. And he's going to be a lot cheaper to sign. He's still good. He's still got some good wear and tear on him. Look at all the goalies that are out there as UFAs that are going to want a lot more money to sign. And you're not going to sign someone to be your number one when you have
Help him with the names, Jimmy. Help him with the names.
Last week.
What are you looking for?
the number one goalie for the Devils. That I'm saying that
Blackwood.
Perfect.
Blackwood. McKenzie.
Perfect behind him. They don't need any of these UFAs that are out there that would cost them a whole lot of money to sign.
Actually, the UFA list of goaltenders is it's a large list, and they're all like B-level guys.
Yeah, you got Reimer, you got Mrazek, you got Bernays out there. Drieger most likely is going to Kraken as a free agent. So, I mean, that's no surprise there. Jones is going to be exposed.
Yep.
Jake Allen's probably going to be exposed in Montreal.
I heard a rumor of Montreal shipping Allen over to Edmonton for the French kid.
French kid.
And I'm pulling a J now. I forgot the kid's last name, Bernier.
Thank you. You're helping me out. Look good here. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a rumor that I saw both on Edmonton's fan site and Montreal's. So when I see him on two different sites, I start to think about that.
I mean, it'd be interesting to see if they actually did that, because the problem is, you know, Mike Smith's the UFA. There's talk of him coming back. But I think Edmonton, if anything, is going to buy out Koskinen. So there would be room there. Definitely bring in Allen.
That is almost a definite Koskinen gone.
Right. Koskinen's definitely gone.
But why bring back Smith? He's ancient.
But the problem is he's playing well. He plays well for them. That's the thing.
Yeah, and we all know, too, their problem is no depth behind the big two. That's their real issue.
Then the Rangers would have kept Lundqvist. You're going to say Lundqvist isn't a better move than Smith? I mean, as far as the Rangers
– I don't think the King plays anymore. I think that ship sailed.
You know, the Edmonton.
Luckily for the Rangers, they just have to expose Keith Kincaid. That's why they signed him to a 2-year deal.
Exactly right.
He's on as the ALC, so he doesn't have to be protected, and Gorgiev's there.
Right. So they protect Gorgiev. They don't have to protect Shesterkin because he's still under his initial contract, and Kincaid's out there. No one's taking him.
Yeah, so
he's a perfect number two. Gorgiev. Yeah,
but Seattle's not taking that.
Has a lot more trade value than the UFAs that are out there. I think the Rangers are going to make some big moves. I think it's really close.
I think with the UFAs, Seattle doesn't have to go after a goaltender in the draft.
No.
Well, yeah, because if they sign Drieger, they already got their starter, and they just need a solid backup.
Yep, exactly.
I mean, there was talk on the market today for San Jose when San Jose was trading for a goalie, we thought maybe Gorgiev, but it was Aiden Hill from Arizona that went to San Jose, which opens the door for Martin Jones to be exposed, which actually was a solid move, to be honest.
I'm interested to see which of the defensemen San Jose protects.
Yeah, me too, because they can't protect all of them.
And you know what? I think that there are two big fat contracts there. They wouldn't mind getting lifted off their plate.
No, I don't think so either.
I don't think Seattle will take him, though.
No chance.
I was surprised by the Ellis deal.
Yeah, so speaking of, thanks, Jay, for teeing that one up. So Ryan Ellis gets traded from Nashville to Philadelphia. Philadelphia sends Philip Myers to Nashville along with Nolan Patrick. Ryan Ellis to Philly, Philip Myers to Nashville. Patrick went to Nashville. Nolan Patrick, the second overall pick in 2017, goes to Nashville but gets traded to Vegas for Cody Glass. So Nolan Patrick and Cody Glass get new starts. I guess Vegas finds depth down the middle that they were looking for. We'll see if Nolan Patrick turns into the player that everybody thinks he can be. But I think he needed a fresh start out of Philadelphia, and Philadelphia upgrades their defense big time with the Ryan Ellis move.
I do think they upgrade their defense. I'm a big Ryan Ellis fan, so I'm just going to say I think they do upgrade it, but the key thing with Ellis is health.
He had been
out of the lineup all last year, and it's funny, when he came back, that's when Nashville went on their streak, and when they were playing cruddy, he wasn't in the lineup. So how do they replace him? I mean, under Poile, Nashville had been a factory for defensemen. Like, they just kept producing one great defenseman after another. But has that well dried up is the question.
The problem is with Jay, before you jump in here, the problem is with Poile is I think his time in Nashville starting to run out, because you could see it. He had Seth Jones in his pocket and traded him for Ryan Johansson. Yeah, they made the finals, but still they did not go any further. And him and Matthew Shane have been disappointments ever since coming to Nashville. So it's gonna be interesting to see what they do there.
Well, the problem is that's not a Poile MO. He never was the kind of guy who would package guys together for send youth and really load up for a big run, which is what he did that year. Normally, he'd be the guy who would hold on to those young guys, maybe even too long, and the team would get stale and they never would get to the next level. So that was a departure from his normal MO, which is what's probably going to expedite him out of Nashville. Still a great executive.
Now with Pecorini.
Well, he retired, yeah.
Retiring.
We knew that at the final game of the regular season.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was his swan song. Once he played that last game, got that shutout, and the way he went off, he retired. But, Jay, you could touch on Rene's career for a minute since we're staying with Nashville. It's a shame that it got buried because it was the same day that Suter and Parisi got bought out because he had one heck of a career with Nashville Predators.
Yeah, I tell you, it's the Seattle expansion draft plus the dead cap. I mean, you're an old goalie, and he did not come through in the playoffs, unfortunately. I love the way he played. Great goalie for many, many years.
Not a playoff guy.
You got Saros. I mean, Saros is your number one now, and now it's time to move on. And he, you know, Pecorini left on his terms. So, I mean, he could sign. I mean, he retired. He could have gone and signed somewhere else, but listen, maybe he knows that he's lost a little in the tank. Leave on a good.
You know, I'm just shocked he didn't go somewhere to hunt the cup.
That's exactly.
I'm surprised too, but like you said, Jay, I mean, look, yeah, you knew it was kind of the end. He knew it was the end. That last regular season game, that swan song, that the way he went off. I tweeted it out that night. I was like, if this is the way Pecorino is going out, what better way to go out? Because he deserved it.
Definitely a great way to go out.
I mean, he spent his whole career with the team. He definitely wanted to just stay with that team and whatever. I mean, there's too many goalies. You know, there's so many goalies out there. I mean, it's
– it's a buyer's market, not a seller's market.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's a plethora of B goalies who are going to be looking for A money. I mean
– But they're B goalies looking for A money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's going to be – It's going to be a garage sale once this expansion draft is over. I think the trading open gates are going to happen, and we're going to see a lot of different identities throughout the NHL.
So who wants a good fan laugh?
All right, let's hear it.
From one of the Montreal Canadiens, from one of the Hab fan sites, which, you know, obviously I'm deeply in touch with all the time. Why should we trade or not protect Jake Allen? We should not protect Carey Price. At his age and his price, no one's going to take his – no, Seattle's never going to take his money. And I'm like, did you see what Vegas did with Fleury? Why would you not think that Seattle wouldn't take a flyer on Price?
Yeah, exactly. He's from that area. He's from Vancouver area.
Exactly. He'd be like almost like going home because he's an Indigenous guy from Western Canada.
Yeah, why not? I mean, that would be perfect. I mean, you know – he would be actually a perfect fit for Seattle, to be honest. You know, out of the Montreal market, no pressure, and go play his game.
Which is why they would take him in a heartbeat, him and his $10 million.
Exactly. But
they'd be the team who could do it because they're not cap strung.
No, yeah. But the problem is they still got – then you got years still tied up in that contract.
That is true. But if he has left in the tank what we all think he has left in the tank, for them to make a 3 or 4 year run like Vegas has made, he's the perfect bedrock to start it with.
Well, the interesting thing is with the goalies like Vegas, there's rumors that they're going to try to move one of their guys.
That is more than a rumor. After Fleury, that is definitely more than a rumor because we all know that the coach in a Fleury fan.
Yeah, he ain't a Fleury fan, so I wouldn't be surprised to see Marc-Andre Fleury on a new team. And I've heard New Jersey tied to him because they were thinking about it last year because they have the money to do it. But it'd be interesting because, you know, if there are teams that could take the full-on contract, but if Vegas has to eat some money, I don't know if they do it.
I don't think Vegas is going to eat money. I think they're gonna force Fleury's hand to want to get out.
Exactly. So it'll be interesting there. So, but a couple other trades today. Jason Dickinson goes from Dallas to Vancouver. That's a solid move for them. I like that upgrade up front.
And of course, Dallas signing Heskinen.
Yeah, and Dallas signed Miro Heskinen 8 years. 8 years, 67, 6 million, 8.45 AAV. They go from there. And you know, he was a solid player for them, especially in the playoffs back in, you know, when they made their run to the cup final in 2020.
But 8 million.
Yeah, that's going to be a solid, that's going to be solid for them. So, you know,
what does that mean for future contract negotiations for 1A Fox?
It's going to be, he'll get, you know, to me, I think the contract is it, I think it's the Yossi contract for Fox.
Yeah, he's younger and he's already got a trophy.
Yeah.
So he might demand more, and he comes from a very astute negotiating group. They pretty much orchestrated that trade from Carolina to his hometown team. So
yeah.
I don't think he's coming cheap and easy.
No, I don't think so.
No, Rangers got some time luckily on their side to have to worry about, you know, the money signing these guys.
Yeah.
RFAs.
I would have thought Heskinen would have been a $6 million signing. I didn't think 8 plus, to be honest.
Then you know what? It's good for them because. Yeah, but you know what? The AAV over the years is pretty good, especially 8 years at his age and right. The way he's producing for them. And he's a
great player.
Him and Klingberg on the back end is going to be good for Dallas.
And bye bye, Bishop.
Well, Bishop, yeah, he waived no move clause, so he ain't coming back because it's going to be Ottinger and Hudobin. Going forward, how about this one? Jared McCann from Pittsburgh to Toronto. Get a little bit more physical up front.
It's what they needed.
I'm shocked Toronto didn't make a deal with Tampa for Barkley.
Me too. I mean, the thing
that's
is,
where I thought he was going.
Yeah, but if you're Toronto, you can't bring back the same team. So I'm glad they added a piece like McCann.
But that's what I thought they would have go after Barkley and get him from Tampa, because they knew Tampa was dealing him, and they need as much of the toughness as they can get. I think side pieces like Simmons have to be gone because, you know, those guys just ran out of gas.
They re-signed Simmons.
I know, and that's the Simmons part just kind of shocked me. Also, you know, Thornton. I mean, I just, those guys like that, there's very little octane in those tanks.
Oh, exactly. And I think Simmons was more of an expansion move, to be honest, a 2-year deal. Because Seattle picks him up.
Sign him and unprotect him. I get it, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's kind of their move there. How about another team making moves? Florida. So they buy out Keith Yandel. Then they
re-sign
Gustav Forsling. Not shocking at all.
Not shocking.
Re-signing Gustav Forsling and Anthony Duclair, 3-year deal. Now, to me, it's going to be interesting to see if they protect either one of these players when the expansion lists come out. But Duclair now has stability with a team. 3 years, he was just living off 1-year contracts for a while, former Ranger. So, and I was like, I like what he did in Ottawa. I thought he had a good first year in Florida. So let's see what he does there.
Well, you know, a lot of people have good years under Coach K. Q.
Yeah, no, he
– good coaching.
Good for him. I mean, he fits. He's definitely – you know, like you said, someone's not going to be protected. But good for him. Either way, he has his deal. If he goes to Seattle, or anyone that goes to Seattle is going to be in a good situation.
We all know that Seattle's not going to be Vegas, but it's still going to be darn good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to be competitive, especially in that Pacific division. They're going to be very competitive, for sure. I think they might even have a chance of making the playoffs with the team they put together. But again, it's all going to come down to, you know, implementing the right plan, getting players you may not suspect. You know, again, with Vegas, a lot of GMs devalue players in the room, like a Marchessault, so like a Smith, like a Tuck. They go to Vegas, they go play under Gallant, and they have well. We'll see if the GMs have learned from their mistakes and coaches learn from their mistakes from the Vegas expansion draft in regards to players, you know, that they may devalue in the room.
I don't think it's so much the devalue, but that's a part of it. I think it's also the fact too that anytime you look forward and think you can get rid of a contract, you know, that team doesn't have any cap space that's eaten up already, so they can add those people. Whereas maybe a team that might want to keep a guy like that is going to say, you know, Marchessault, is he really worth that kind of money? No, we can bring a younger guy in or more physical, whatever kind of guy. And so they jettison the guy and they bring someone else in. A team like Seattle and Vegas, they can take those risks because they're not big risks for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Without the cap, if there was no cap and it was old school expansion, these teams would suffer for 5 to 6 years before they got darn good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, the fastest team that ever got good under the old expansion rules was the New York Islanders, who made the playoffs in their third year when they brought Al Arbor in to coach the team and had Bill Torrey as the GM. The rest of them suffered forever.
Yeah, they did. That's true. I mean, Tampa, you know, they made playoffs, and Florida got good quick, but they brought in the right guys too.
Right. But they got good quick, and they went –
San Jose was actually a good expansion team.
Yeah, San Jose was
all right. Yeah. Dallas was. But, you know, so before we get out of here, let's talk about the thing from Montreal, the big news. Shea Weber, most likely going to be unprotected by the Canadiens.
Definitely.
He's had a lot of injury history with the ankle, with the foot, with the knee, with the wrist, the thumb. He saw doctors. It wasn't a good diagnosis. It appears that he's going to miss next season. It could be longer. They're trying to work to see if he can be on LTIR. But you could see it in his eyes in the Stanley Cup final when they lost that he knew this possibly could be it. There was a lot of rumors even last year that he might not be playing again. This be a tough blow for the Canadians, especially on defense. I think Weber still got a lot left in that tank too.
Well, I think the Canadians knew this was coming. He knew this was coming. And the key thing about it is there's so many moves that can be made because, you know, can he get the surgeries and stay out and rehab and come back like a certain other person did with 10 games left to go and, you know, be a nice little addition to the playoffs? Certainly could be. If they unprotect him, I do not think Seattle is going to risk $6 million of cap hit money for a guy who's going to be out. You know, because they need to establish their culture quick. And you can't do that by having a guy like that who's a veteran leader not being part of the mix. You can't lead, you know, a team when you're not part of the action. For Montreal, it's not going to be that big a deal because obviously the team was built solid. I think he stays put. I think he gets the surgeries, and I think they reevaluate it. Maybe he's a great addition at the end of the year, or maybe it's time to hang it up and then, you know, wait 3 years and get inducted in Toronto.
Yeah, and
he will be inducted in Toronto.
I'm gonna say a name that may jump back into the league this year, Bufflin, Big Buff. After a year off,
maybe 2 years off.
I mean, a couple of years off, Big Buff. I mean, I could see it, maybe Bufflin. But that's only if he wants to play.
He doesn't want to play.
He's gotta want to play. That's the thing with Bufflin. He gotta want to play. But here's the thing: if they're able to put him on LTIR, that opens up some money.
$6 million.
They could make a run at Dougie Hamilton.
That's the rumor. The rumors are going to make a run at Doug Hamilton because Shea Weber's $6.35 million comes off the table for cap as long as he's out of the lineup.
For a guy like Ski, old Ranger,
Brady Shea,
Shea's a fourth or fifth defenseman. He's not going to make an impact for Montreal.
The real question is, does Montreal revisit Tony D'Angelo if he gets bought out?
No, I don't think. I think Tony D'Angelo, we've gone through this a million times over. Talent-wise, yeah, who wouldn't want Tony D'Angelo as being a second pair offensive defenseman? He'd be the best second pair offensive defenseman in the league. But, of course, the Rangers devalued him, and now he comes with so much baggage. And I don't see Montreal the type of city that's going to, you know, want to deal with that. Although – it's not in the United States, so it might be a little bit easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
He definitely isn't going to Seattle because Seattle's the world capital of the world.
He ain't going to Seattle. So
Seattle's the world capital of the world. They're not bringing in Tony D.
But I think the Canadians will have another big offseason, try to make it back to the playoffs next year. You know, with Bergevin left on his contract, he hasn't really said he's going to sign an extension. They got Ducharme in there for a couple more years. They re-signed Luke Richardson. The coaching staff's back.
That's huge.
So this is a big offseason for Bergevin. Let's see what he does. They get the stuff with Weber cleared up. They can go sign a defenseman, bring in some other pieces to help out. Obviously, probably Tindar is definitely not back. We'll see if Philip Deneau comes back. He left money on the table last year. I don't think he's going to get it. He may get a 1 or 2 year deal someplace else. Maybe the Canadians bring him back on a 1 or 2 year deal. But Montreal is going to be interesting to watch this offseason. You know, these protection lists, when they come out, are going to be very interested to see who is and who isn't on these lists. But, you know, this is when the fun begins. The silly season is here.
And because of the expansion list, it becomes even sillier. But yeah. I think Montreal doesn't lose here because they were only going to be able to protect three defensemen from their big four anyway. And with Weber being out of the mix due to health and surgery, or if Seattle takes him, it's a no-lose for them.
Yeah.
They're in a no-lose position.
And don't forget, if he retires, Nashville's on the hook for the money. So
Exactly. Nashville's on the hook for the money.
PK Subban, baby. He's part of that trade.
And for a guy who's not even with them anymore. And you remember, what was it, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when everybody wanted to burn Bergevin in effigy for trading the beloved PK Subban for this old guy, Shea Weber? It turns out that the deal actually helped both teams. It helped Nashville in the short term, and it helped Montreal in the long term.
It really win-win. Win-win for everybody. It really is a win-win.
There's no such thing as zero-sum gain for every trade. Sometimes everybody wins in a trade.
Absolutely, everybody wins in a trade. And a lot of these teams today did win in trade. So
they did.
You know, the off-season's here. The transactions are coming around. They're coming quick. They're coming hot and heavy. And, you know, we just jumped on. We wanted to talk about it. We're talking about it in the group. We're like, hey, why not come on? Let's talk about it. We did. You know, the NHL draft is next weekend. The expansion draft is this week. You have July 28th at noon is when free agency begins. That's going to be a fun day. Keep it locked on. You know, my Twitter's at Jim Berenger. Follow me there. You know, I'm going to be, you know, going to be posting on Facebook. We'll come out. We'll probably have a show after free agency. We'll see if anything major breaks this week. Maybe we'll figure out. We'll do something. But, you know, like I said, we had to come on. We had to talk about these moves because there's a lot of stuff that went down. And to wait that long, I don't think it would have been right. We got to give the people what they want. Boys, thanks for coming in and doing this for me with us today.
Great subject. This is exciting stuff. I love this stuff. Everything's going to change after this expansion draft for everybody.
As soon as I hit the end button, things are going to start changing. It's just the way it is in this state right now.
Exactly. That's what it is right now. And normally this time of year, we don't really have much because July 1st is passed around. But this year we do. And it looks like the regular season will start on October 12th. Obviously, you could probably
Which is close to normal.
You can pencil in Tampa Bay playing with the banner. You can pencil in Canadians and Maple Leafs that night and figure out the other games. But, again, thanks for everybody for tuning in tonight. This has been The Last Word on Hockey, Season 2, Episode 29. I'm Jim Berenger, along with Mark Weiss, Coach Jay. Have a good night, everybody. Enjoy the day.
Take care.
Bye, all.
Take it easy, guys.